I've been watching the church and how you've adapted to so many changes this year, from streaming online beginning around the first of the year to a parking lot Easter service. You remember that? And we were here then, and all through the year, how you've continued. And it gives me a unique opportunity for the church to say thank you to a long line of pastors who've served faithfully here. But can we show Pastor Mike our appreciation? We are really grateful for the leadership. It goes doubly for all of you who've been faithful and continued on through what is really an exceptional year. Exceptional is kind of my, let me see if I can, there we go. Okay, so that is a picture of my family at Christmas, and everybody was home. I want to thank you for praying for our son Nathan, because he was sick earlier, one of the first to go on a ventilator, but came off, and God has been good. It was a great Christmas, just the four of us, but the title of my sermon actually comes from a conversation we had. I won't tell which one of our children said it, but we were talking to them about their future plans. Where do you want to go? What do you want to be? And it was time for applications and endorsements and everything else. And out came the line, "I just want to be exceptional. Is that too much to ask?" And if you think about it, to be exceptional, to be extraordinary, is actually a lot to ask, right? At Christmas, I got a Fitbit. I am not exceptional in any sense. I've never gotten to 10,000 steps. I need it because I have to keep working at staying fit, and that's a kind of a losing battle. I think in all of our hearts, at some level, at some point, we've all wanted to be extraordinary, amazing, exceptional. Next slide, I'll do that. Next one is, when I was growing up, there was this book, you know, the Guinness Book of World Records. How many of you remember it? So, you know, it would be the place where, like, people would grow things out, or, you know, have a beard covered in honey, or they would do all different kinds of exceptional things, not really all that contributing to the good of mankind necessarily, but they were noteworthy because they were in the Guinness Book of World Records. I would read through it and try and figure out which one could I get the easiest, right? My wife claims that she should be in the book, for when she was 14, she set the world record for most continuous cartwheels, one after another after another, which I looked it up right now. The world record seems to be 37 minutes, and she claims to have gone a lot longer than that. But somehow her achievement is not recognized. We all want to be extraordinary. But the truth is, my theme today is, we are all pretty ordinary people. And the fact is that God seems to like using ordinary people. We're going to run back through the Christmas story one more time. It is full of ordinary people who had faith in a future promise, and God used them in amazing ways, right? We start in Luke chapter 2, the announcement to Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. They were righteous in God's sight. They obeyed all the decrees blamelessly. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both, I underline this one, we'll see it more than once today, they were both very old. Very old is a relative term, isn't it? I remember we had a friend, she was in the newspaper, there was a scam on the elderly, and it said an elderly woman was taken advantage of in Firestone Park, and she was 62. Oh, she didn't like being elderly at 62. They were very old, well past the time of being able to give birth. But as we know, God appeared to Zechariah and told him, Elizabeth's going to be with child. He's going to be the one to predict the coming of the Messiah, the one to tell that everything will be made right the one to fulfill so many, a voice crying out in the wilderness, make a way for the Lord. That was going to be John the Baptist. That was the promise given to these ordinary, faithful people. I think God chooses ordinary, faithful people. This wasn't really Elizabeth and Zachariah, you know. I think Elizabeth, she looks awfully young in that picture for me, relatively, but we always have this picture of what did people look like. The Bible's full of stories, right, of God choosing ordinary things, it says in Corinthians, right? I will choose the weak things, the foolish things to shame the wise and the strong. God wants to do that. In the Old Testament, God says, I choose Israel. Why? Because you're the greatest of the nations? No. Why did he choose Israel? He said, you're among the smallest of the nations, and I choose it to demonstrate my power. I will work through you. God chooses ordinary, faithful people to work out his message. I think so that we don't try to claim credit for it, right? He's always able to demonstrate and work out his power. Never so much so as during a pandemic, right? As through a year like this, exceptional in so many ways. Favorite tweet of the year was from May of 2020, where it was based on a space launch. And the tweet said, to the astronauts leaving Earth, good choice. Because it's been an extraordinary, exceptional, difficult year. On a personal level, when I read and know of people who have passed, and we don't have funerals, calling hours, and I can't reach out and just comfort people and tell them how much somebody meant, it's just been really hard to grieve. But God uses ordinary, faithful people in difficult circumstances. Zachariah and Elizabeth were. They didn't have any children. They were well along in years, and yet they were faithful. They obeyed God even when the promises of the things they had hoped for had not yet come true. But God was able to use them. But one other thing happened. Zachariah says this. He goes back, and he's worshiping God, and he's saying how the promises were kept to show mercy to our ancestors. This is from Luke chapter 1. And to remember his holy covenant. To rescue the covenant that he made to Abraham. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies. To enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. They were ordinary. They were faithful. And yet they held on to a promise that went well into the future. And you're going to see, as we briefly look at these different parts of the story, that everyone else has this same promise. I love ordinary people. And I love when community church back in the 70s, how many of you remember this? How many remember this? Right? We'd dress up the guys, you know, they'd grow beards, and we would recreate the Last Supper. So Dick Vance is up there, and Ron Park, and Carl Smith. These guys, they worked at Goodyear and in machine shops and Goodrich, and, you know, they were ordinary people that you would see all the time. But there they were, the disciples. And I loved it because what were the disciples if they weren't ordinary? Fishermen and people that Jesus said, come follow me, and they had faith, and they were willing to do it. And these men would live out their lives around us and teach me scripture. We read from Luke chapter 2, and I did it from memory at Christmas because I learned it here. I learned a lot of scripture. But this was the best because there they were living out that scene and with you know, their warts and everything else. I mean, to me, this is, they had their regular jobs and yet they did this. In my regular job, I'm a judge. And for me, one of the hardest things about my job, it won't seem this way, is, especially when it comes to being fit, is I get triggered by food all the time. had a guy who was in jail over the weekend. He had a warrant for doing a dine and dash from White House Chicken. So it's 8:30 in the morning. I bring him up to court. He pleads guilty. He's already done a couple days in jail. That's all you're going to get for at a dine and dash from the White House Chicken. But I had to ask him the next question. What did you have? The two-piece all white with the JoJo's and the hot sauce and the coleslaw. And now I've triggered a whole bunch of you. And I'll see you this afternoon at Belgrade's or at White House or Hopkins Gardens. There's nothing wrong with that food, but I can't make it and stay in my clothes if I keep eating all of it. We are ordinary people who are not the beautiful people who live on the coast. Am I right about that? We're in the flyover states. The good news is with the pandemic, a study shows that people who wear masks are more attractive, and some of us need all the help we can get. Is that right, Bill? Yeah. Amen. Thank you. In the Christmas story, though, another ordinary, faithful, but young person was Mary. I mean, that's what defined her, was her ability to be willing to be used by God. She was faithful. She was waiting. She was available. She could be used for a special task. God's calling us to that as well, to take ordinary people who are faithful, who are willing to be used by God. But listen to what Mary says. Listen how similar it is to Zechariah. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Ordinary people, faithful to what they believe, but believing in the promise of something better based on what God said. It's true for Zechariah and Elizabeth, true also for Mary. After the promise, then Mary, it says, got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Where did Zechariah live? Bud, where did he live in the hill country? What does that make them? Yes, thank you. That's right. We never get that far away from it, do we? Of course they were. And how many of us too, right? Came from that. Where did we used to go in Kentucky? Where was that? Like Gobbler's Knob or somewhere. We used to volunteer and work at a place in Kentucky when I was growing up here. And that's where they were, though. They weren't from the big city, right? Neither was Mary. It wasn't much better for Mary. What did they say about Jesus when they said, the Messiah, come, I've met the Messiah. I think it was Andrew or Philip said, come, I've met the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. What did they say? Can anything good come from Nazareth, right? The Christmas story is all about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, little town of Bethlehem, a small town. Nothing notable except for the fact that the prophets predicted it would happen. We have ordinary people who have faith, believe in a promise. They come from ordinary places. They're extraordinary places, and there are ordinary places. And we come from an ordinary place. And I hope you're beginning to get the idea that that's really good news if you want to be used by God. The picture on the left, the extraordinary place, is a picture of Shanghai, a modern picture of one of the most modern cities in the world. And that's bad news. I'm the pastor of the Chinese church. I'm the pastor there because a church split was brewing, and I stepped in, and you know what I found? Most of the growth in that church I've been associated with for 25 years is conversion growth. You would say that's a very good thing, right? But with conversion growth, you know what else you get? You get all the problems of the first century church. They fight with each other over those kinds of things. They didn't grow up parents who patterned and modeled what Christianity means to them. So we have to work through all those things. I teach from 1 Corinthians all the time because those are their issues. But that's a good thing. It's okay. It's what missionaries face on the mission field. But the sad thing about China is we're not getting conversion growth from China anymore. Do you know why? It's become so wealthy. And they don't need God as much anymore. But to be ordinary, to struggle, to depend upon God, to have faith in his promises is where God needs us and where he keeps us. The ordinary versus the extraordinary. So it came time for a baby to be born. The baby was born in a manger, in the straw, in the dirt, in the mess. I never want to clean Mary up too much. I never want to clean the stable up too much. I worked in a stable. I was Joseph in an indoor nativity scene. It was when I was single. I had met my wife Bethany, but I hadn't yet persuaded her that I should be her husband. That would take another year or two. We weren't dating at the time. And so I'm in that nativity scene, right? So I'm Joseph and Mary's there. And she comes walking by with her then boyfriend who had a ponytail. And just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, the goat, the live goat was eating the backdrop, the canvas backdrop. The goat throws up. And that starts other things with the goat. And the smells were unbearable. You know, the goat's throwing up. He's eating the backdrop. This girl I liked walks by with a guy with a ponytail. It doesn't get any worse, does it? Except for Mary and Joseph, right? To have to give birth in that. And don't you wonder about Mary and Joseph, ordinary people who are alone in the manger, in the cold, with just the promises to hold on to. But God has another way to choose what looks like the most ordinary people in the story, right? The shepherds, they don't even get named. But the angel says, behold, right? A promise from of old, David, town, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. The shepherds returned, it says, after going there and visiting, and then they believed, glorifying, praising God for the things which were just as they had been told. They were very ordinary, and yet they believed, they trusted. Today, really, the stars of the ordinary come in the dedication of Jesus, Simeon and Anna. We never talk about them, except maybe this week or next. When Jesus goes to be dedicated in the temple, Simeon, it says, was righteous and devout. It was revealed he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah, so he waited. And in Luke chapter 2, it says, now, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And again, that promise from of old, for you've prepared in the sight of all the people a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people, Israel. One commentator said, if we compare the verses, Simeon gets 7 or 8 verses, so he gets a little bit more. Righteous and devout, faithful, believed in the long promise from old. But Anna, maybe the most insignificant of all of them, right? And again, she's very old. We're not really sure how old Anna is. They translate it different ways. One says she was 84 years old. One says she was a widow 84 years. That would put her up around 100, maybe a little bit over. Either way, by their definition, she was very old. But she lived what we could say was a really tough assignment, right? Married 7 years. We can guessing no children. And then she's a widow all those years, at least 60, 70 years a widow. What's that like? What is it like to want to depend and to be depending upon the promise of God, to not have your spouse by your side? And yet, God is faithful to his promises. And she saw him, and every day she went to the church. There she was. She never left the temple. She worshiped, she fasted, she prayed. She gave thanks to God for Jesus, told all who were looking forward that long again promise. For the redemption of Israel, they are all there. She was ordinary. She was faithful. She believed in the promise. God has used all of them. There's one more person that we often forget was at the scene at the manger who may be the most ordinary person of Christmas. I mean this. That's the scripture in Philippians, isn't it? That says, Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and found himself as a man. He made himself obedient unto death. He's the most ordinary person at the manger. All of our movies get it wrong. Jesus is always this beautiful man. Am I right? But what does it say in Isaiah? He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance to make us desire him. Instead, he was despised and rejected by mankind, the kind of person you turn your face away from. But we know how it ends. By his stripes, we were healed. He took the suffering for us, and that's what we believe. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We sang about it all morning. Paul said it. His name would be Jesus because he would save the people from their sins. And that's where we are this morning. We are holding on to that promise. We are. I know you. I'm one of you. Ordinary people who believe in a saving, awesome God. And because of our belief, we hold on to that promise. And he is faithful to that. And I'm telling you, God will do extraordinary things in your life if we wish to be used by him. And whether you're in the situation of Mary, who has a tough assignment on her because she was faithful, whether you're like one of my children who just says, I just want to be exceptional, whether you're very old and you've been relying on the promises of God for a long time, and it's gotten harder and tougher. Our message is throughout the Christmas story, before we pack it up, he is faithful. And we hold on to the promise of who Jesus Christ is. One final hymn. Do you remember this song? The verse goes, I wonder as I wander out under the sky that Jesus, my Savior, did come for to die for poor, ornery people like you and like I. I love that word ornery and poor and ordinary because that's what we are. But we have faith in an amazing, powerful God who came to die for us, and we hold on to that. Maybe you've wandered. Maybe you're wondering, is this really true? The message of Christmas to the ordinary people, to you, is that Jesus Christ came for us. He held on to his purpose, his promise, and as a result, we know his salvation. Said he would become the first of many brothers, so he was like us, except without sin. And he made the way for us. Will you please pray with me? We would long to be faithful rather than exceptional. We would long to trust and hold on to your promises because of your goodness, because of all that you have done for us. We pray for more people to get the vaccine. We pray for an end to all the restrictions. We pray for a time we can gather together again. But until then, help us to hold on to your promises, to be faithful, to remember just how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.